Well, a pleasant evening to you and you too, Blam. We're delighted you tuned in tonight and that we have this opportunity to study the Word of God once again through this medium. Thankful for the technology that we can continue to study the Word of God together. We're mindful of those who are sick and mindful of those who are grieving. You're in our thoughts and in our prayers. If you take your Bible tonight and turn with me to the book of Habakkuk, I'd like for us to look in the third chapter. And when this mighty prophet of God is writing, notice what he says at the conclusion of the book, beginning at verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. Many times we neglect to study the prophets of God. Sometimes we really neglect studying what we identify as the minor prophets. And we identify them as the minor prophets not because they are less important than Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and others, but because their books are shorter. But these men were just as important in their work in the kingdom of that day as was Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and others. And when you read this particular time, you'll find Habakkuk is facing a very challenging time. He's going through a trying time. Judah is in the filth of sin, and he cried out to God, "How long are you going to allow Judah to continue to rebel?" And the God of heaven said, "I want to tell you something. I'm going to work a work in your days you would not believe lest it be told you." And he said, "I want you to understand that the Chaldean army is going to come in and I'm going to punish Judah." Now that just upset that man known as Habakkuk because the Chaldean people were known to be a bitter and hasty nation. They were more wicked than Judah. And so Habakkuk did not understand why God would use someone more wicked than Judah to come in and punish them. But that shows that God knows some things that man does not know, and we just need to understand that God works his plan. But I want you to stop and think about, while this man is hurting, and you read chapter 1 and you see his confusion, when you get to the end of the book of chapter 3, you'll find he's come to terms with several things. Notice, if you will, the word "though" is mentioned several times in Habakkuk there in chapter 3. He says in verse 17, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, though the labor of the olive may fail, though the flock may be cut off." He's saying even if these things happen, and when they do happen, and there's a lack of food source in the land, and there's not anything for us to eat, he said, "One thing I'm going to tell you. When the Chaldeans come in, I'm still going to rejoice in the Lord." Look at that word "though." I want you to understand, here was a man that says, although this will happen, although this tragedy, although this problem, although this heartache will come into my life, I will continue to rejoice in the Lord. Now, Habakkuk, are you upset that the Chaldean army is coming? Yes. Are you upset that they're going to take over Judah? Yes. But he said, "I know one thing, my God is still in control." But then if you take your Bible back in the book of Habakkuk, notice a second thing. Notice, if you will, the word in verse 18, "yet." He said, although these things will happen, yet. What, Paul? What, Habakkuk? That little word "yet" means in spite of the conditions, no figs, no fruit, no olives, no harvest, no cattle. He said, "I will rejoice." We can see why one would rejoice if everything is good. But here is a man who sees trouble on the horizon. He sees the armies coming in of the Chaldean nation and overthrowing Judah. And he said, even in the midst of that, I will rejoice. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Though this happens, yet. But then think of a third thing. He said, "I will." Look at those little two words carefully. I want you to think about, here is Habakkuk who is saying, "I will." I like that statement. He doesn't say what everybody else is going to do. He says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. He said, I'll tell you one thing. Though I see problems, though there's a lot of things that are to be concerned about, though it looks like that we're going to have a lot of problems and that the cities will be overthrown, one thing I know I have to rejoice about, I have a relationship with God, and he said, in the face of great trouble, I will joy in the Lord. Now think about that for just a moment. Can you imagine if this nation was to be overthrown and food source was to be cut off and there was going to be great trials and struggles and the people would be hurting? Would you be able to say, I still rejoice in the Lord? As much as I love this country and as much as I appreciate being free, I'll tell you, my friend, I recognize one thing. This country could fall at any time. That at any time that the people can turn against God, and like in the days of Judah, that they begin to mock and blaspheme God, and we see so much of that in our country today. We see so much hatred toward God where people despise the Holy One. And yet, can we say like that man Habakkuk, though these things may happen, yet I will. And look at that word, rejoice. Make joy. Now, what did Habakkuk have to be joyful about? Just exactly what would make this man find joy in the midst of great trials? Number one, he knew God. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow and the rain may descend, Habakkuk said, I will rejoice in the Lord of my salvation. Look at that statement. And then in your Bible, notice something else this man says that's very important. He says, I will join the God of my salvation. Notice that singular, my salvation. He's not talking about the salvation of the land. Oh, there'll be a remnant that continues on. But he's talking about his salvation in the Lord. And he says in verse 19, the Lord God is my strength. That's where he's going to find strength. He couldn't find it anywhere else, but he found it in the most important place, in God. Habakkuk said, the real joy is in salvation. I want to take that. I want to make application in the lesson's yours. The first thing I want us to think about is we need to thank God for what we do have. There's nothing wrong with material things, and I think it's good to enjoy things that we've been blessed with and we have obtained. But I'll tell you, my friend, we need to be careful lest we put them before God. And we need to be careful lest we see material things and take our eyes off God. We need to praise God for what we have, but more than that, we need to praise God for what we have in Christ. In salvation. Oh, sometimes I'm fearful that we only look at blessings as material things and forget the spiritual blessings. What if everything was taken from us? Could we still see the spiritual blessings? Could we still see what we have in Christ? Secondly, what if you have nothing? What if everything was lost? No money in the bank, little food on the table, little clothing. The family struggling with sickness and problems, what should you do? Well, some people say, well, I'll tell you what I do. I just have a pity party and feel sorry for myself. That's not what Habakkuk did. Notice what he did. He rejoiced in the Lord. Sometimes just take your Bible and go over in the Philippian letter and underscore how many times the Apostle Paul talks about joy and rejoicing. In Philippians 4:4, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And here was a man who had to go through want and need. And when he's writing this epistle, he is writing from a Roman prison. And I'll tell you, my friend, here he is telling people that my joy is not in my circumstance. My joy is in my salvation in God. There's a difference between happenstance and having happiness because of where we are and what we have in life, and joy, which is found in the Lord. That's a deeper, more meaningful thing, to have joy because I'm saved from my sin. That means even when all seems lost, I have the most important thing, a relationship with God. I will rejoice. I may not have everything I want. And there may come a time I may be in dire need. There may come a time that I've lost everything I have. My question is, will I still have joy because I have God? Because I'll tell you, Satan, what did he do to Job to test him? He took everything he had. And what does Job say? Naked I came into the world, and naked I'll leave the world. And then he worshiped God. He blessed the name of God. He honored the name of God. He praised the name of God. And I'll tell some, we need to say, I will rejoice. Don't let Satan win and have us quit and say, well, God's not blessing me. God has given us so much in spiritual blessing that we overlook. And that brings up another thought in our study. I will rejoice because I have a relationship with God. Don't let anyone or anything rob you of your relationship with God. And that brings up another thought. Would you live life over? What would you change? Would you say, well, if I could go over, I'd be rich, or I'd go back and make some financial decisions. But I want us to realize, even if we could live life over, we'd face the same problems. And the question is, would we make better decisions spiritually? Another thing, rejoice in the Lord. I'll tell you something, my friend. There's joy in Christ. And we need to know that we should be people who are joyful because we are saved from our sins. We are part of the family of God. We're children of the King. We are citizens of the kingdom. We're heirs to the inheritance of Christ. Sometimes I think about, we look up and we think about, I don't have money, and we get down. I tell you, you may not have money, but you have God, and you have a relationship with God, and my God of salvation is more important than every dime I may possess. And I'll tell you something. We need to praise Him. If I'm loyal to God and I see what I will have when this life is over and I keep my eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, then my friend, I will rejoice even when life is hard. Sometimes our bodies will hurt. We'll go through grief. We'll go through pain. But can we say like Habakkuk, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will keep my faith in God. I want God because I want to go to heaven. And you remember Paul asked the question in Romans 8, what can separate from the love of God? You know, my friend, nothing can separate from the love of God. If you're lost, you go to hell, God's still loving you. But you go because you didn't love God. And what we need to find is joy in being Christian. If I could get that into my heart and get that into your heart, I think we would go about telling people about Christ, never ashamed to say, I have joy. Why? Because I'm a child of God. Even in the most trying circumstances, I can rejoice. Even when all seems lost, I can rejoice. Why? Habakkuk said, because I have a relationship with God. I have salvation in God, and God is my strength. Let us pray. Our Father, you're so kind and good to us, and we're so thankful. You've blessed us beyond measure. We're so prosperous in this nation, and many times we confuse wants with needs and needs with wants. Help us, Father, to be appreciative of every blessing we have, and we're so thankful that you have lavished us here, but Father, we're so much more thankful for the spiritual blessings we have in Christ. And Father, this is one of those sermons that may be easier to preach than to live, but may we all live it, where even if in this nation we're persecuted and we lose our homes and we lose our things because of our faith in you, that like those who in the very beginning of New Testament Christianity, we hold on to our faith even if it means they take our life. Because we know, Father, they can't take our eternal life. That belongs to you. Help us, Father, to live in such a way to give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.